Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message. My name's Stanley, by the way, if we haven't met. One of the pastors here, and I have got a special lanyard. How many like a little bit of lanyard action? Now, I am wearing a lanyard that says, talk to me about small groups. So before I jump into what we want to talk about today, we just wanted to take a moment. It's the beginning of the term. And so here at Coast Vineyard, we have this rhythm each term of just relaunching into our groups. And this term, we have some amazing groups that are happening. And across the church, every single one of us, I would love to encourage you, every single one of us, to engage in group life in some way, shape, or form. So this particular term, if we put lovely photos up here, I know that you won't be able to read the details before, you know, there's hands up that go at the back. But this is all beautiful faces and some logos as well of the different groups that are happening this term. There's actually 22 groups that are happening. Those of you who are mathematic, 7 times 3, I know it's 21 up there, just, you know, but we'll get there. Here at Coast, we do life groups, that if you've come from another church environment, maybe home groups, small groups, cell groups. That's a regular, either weekly or fortnightly group that typically meets in someone's home, a time to connect with each other as well as dig into a study or a course of some description, have some focused, deeper conversation happening in there. But we also have connect groups, which are groups that are, as the name suggests, they're there to have an environment of connection. So typically those groups happen less often, but not always. We have a fantastic men's connect group, coffee connect group, for example, and fantastic women's coffee connect group that both happen on Thursday mornings, and they happen more regularly, and they are great opportunities for people to be able to connect together. But we also have a wide variety of others. I'm not going to give you all the details because you've got to go digging for yourself, all right? On our website, under the group section, you'll find all the details and all the information about the group. So I'll just give you a little few little snapshots, all right? We also have focus groups. So focus groups are the groups that we have that are typically, obviously, around a specific focus. Often they're just a shorter period group. They might run for a few weeks at a time, or they get together on a regular basis, but they are focus specifically around something. So for example, we have a Mums Who Pray focus group. So monthly, ladies get together and pray for each other as well as, you know, the things around them, and it's an awesome opportunity to be able to do that. So life groups, connect groups, focus groups, there is somewhere within that array of opportunity for each and every one of us to be able to engage. Amen. What I'd love to do, though, is there are a bunch of others who have got famous lanyards on and some who missed out because we have so many groups happening this term. Apologies. But if you could, if you're leading a group this term, would you mind just stand to your feet for a moment? Look at all these fantastic people. Come on, can we give them a huge, resounding, stay standing, resounding round of applause. And stay standing. And so there are a bunch of others as well, obviously, who aren't in the room with us at the moment. But these people here are going to be purposefully milling around the foyer, around church afterwards, so that you can chat to them. So just peruse the room, see who's standing. And you may want to ask them about their own group, or you might want to ask them about groups in general, but they're here just to signal to you so that you can engage and find out a little bit more after the service. All right, make sense? These are great people to get to know. Even if you just want to go and chat and say hi, they're great people to know. And what they facilitate in the life of our church is absolutely incredible. Absolutely foundational and absolutely important to who we are here at Coast Vineyard. There are also some new groups that I just want to flag so that you're aware of what they is happening with them this term before I carry on. So up here, you'll see that we have a bunch of new young adults groups, and I'm going to anoint some people over here with lanyard because they ran out. So Micaiah over here and Ralph and Daniel are running a group. Caitlin Watson is running a group, and Jake and Grace Alejo are also running a young adults group. So we've had some great activity happening within young adults. And did I just say something silly? Oh, okay. So if you are a young adult looking for a great group to be a part of, that's happening, which will be awesome. We've also got a new men's group that's happening on a Saturday morning. So Steve Plummer and Blair Humphrey down the back there are running a men's group on a Saturday morning, which is awesome. We've got some focus groups, some new focus groups happening this term. So the beautiful Pete and Trish Manser, who are also down here and on screen, they are running a soul rest focus group on a Monday night. If you are looking for a place of refreshing to come and receive prayer, then you can come, and it's fortnightly, but it's a sort of a drop-in. So let them know that you're keen to come, obviously, but you can just come and partake in that, which will be a fantastic opportunity for people. We've got Practicing the Way, so myself and Rachel, my wife, are going to be running a course, Practicing the Way, over 8 weeks, which is going to be awesome this term. We've got a CAP course, that's CAP Money course, which is great around budgeting. Simeon is going to be running the next of his deeper dialogue courses, looking at spiritual beings. So that's going to be happening in the term. Details and dates to come. Have I missed anything? Cool. So there's lots of stuff happening. Get into it. Get amongst it. It'll be awesome. Thank you, group leaders. You may take a seat. That was a long time. You did well. So, yeah, it's awesome. Hey, last Sunday, Matt started us off in a little mini-series talking about One Invitation Away. Those of us who were there, you might remember how Johnny invited Andy, who invited Pete, then Phil, who invited Nate. Remember that? John the Baptist, that is, the disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, the importance in each and every one of their stories about an invitation that they responded to. And I'm sure that for each of us, we will be able to think about how invitation has played a key role within our journey of faith, right? In reality, we are all here right now, either as a direct or indirect result of an invitation. Somewhere along the way, someone somehow has engaged with each and every one of us to invite us to be in this space, either directly or indirectly. And so you may well be here, and it's your very first time here, and you're here because someone invited you this week. And so I don't want you to feel weird about it. You're in good company, because around the room, that's the reality for all of us at some point in time. Someone cared enough about us to invite us into the space, the things that are important to us, that we think are worthwhile investing and being a part of. And so next week, obviously, we're going to change tack a bit. We've got Tawhiti coming, which is going to be awesome. Then we're going to jump into Pentecost. But today, I want to carry along this sort of theme a little bit. I'm going to explore some cool stuff. But let's pray. Then I'll dive in. Lord, we thank you for your invitation to us. And right now, just as we focus around your word for a while, we would invite you to speak into our hearts again afresh. Thank you that you invite us forward, and we want to in turn invite you in. So come and speak in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. What was the last thing that you couldn't stop talking about? What was the last thing that, no matter what the conversation was, you know, that was going on around you, some way, somehow, it just, you brought it into the conversation. It's just, you couldn't, it was just on your mind. It was maybe a trip that you're planning or you've just been on that you wanted to tell people about. Maybe it was a great movie that you saw. Maybe it was a great meal at a restaurant that you had. It's still kind of classic social media material, isn't it? You know, take the snap of the food that you're about to eat, share it on Instagram and tell everyone about it. You know, what was the last thing that you just couldn't stop talking about? If I stop and think about that for myself over the last few months, I must admit that it is sort of home DIY painting projects. Anyone else? Right, there's the stuff, you know, invested in it, and doing stuff with it, and I just found myself just sharing, even this last week, I've got a project going on at the moment in the garage, since you're asking, I'm repainting a bike. I've got a little photo of it, you know, just thought, you know, like, and I've just found myself just talking about it. It was so funny. I had decided that with my cycling buddies, I wouldn't tell them that I was doing it. So I'll just turn up to a ride one day and, you know, I'll have it all done and just, you know, look at their reactions. I couldn't not talk about it. I showed them photos, I told them all about it, you know. Just talk about it. For you, what was the last thing that you couldn't stop talking about? And what if that was the way that we talked about Jesus? That no matter what was going on in our lives or the conversation that we were engaged with or the people, that the reality of what Jesus was doing in our lives or the lives around us was just so present, so right at the surface of what was happening, that we just found a way to bring him into the conversation. Now, yes, I know that there are social etiquette things here, and I know that there are conversational skills which are important. We don't just jump into a conversation and barge our way in, bombard them with what we think, right? I know. But I heard this saying just recently. What if we were people who just gossiped the gospel? That's a cool phrase, eh? If you're going to gossip about anything, make it about Jesus. The goodness of who he is, the invitation that we have to a life lived with God, of the reality of his salvation and the difference that it's made in our lives, his forgiveness, the healing that we see him doing, the difference that we see him making in our own lives and the lives around us. What if we were just gossips for Jesus? We gossiped the gospel. In one of the Apostle Paul's letters, these letters that we see within the New Testament of the Bible, he is writing to a group of people who were clearly doing that. And there's some great encouragement in it. And I want us to hone in on their story today. They couldn't stop talking about the things that God had done in their life. So, if you've got your Bibles or on your phones or whatever, then I'd love you to turn into 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Anyone guess that? 1 Thessalonians, book in the New Testament. One of these great letters of Paul's. And just as you're turning there, just a little bit of helpful context, hopefully. So this is a letter that Paul, Silas, and Timothy are writing to those who have become believers in Thessalonica, which is modern-day Greece, actually still very much a city. Apparently there's about 800,000 population there now. But it was a thriving city, it was a trading port. And Acts 17 actually tells us the story of Paul and Silas going there. It tells us that Paul shared in the temple, in the synagogue rather, for three consecutive Sabbaths. And people respond. You know, it says that he reasoned with them from the scriptures. And then in verse 4 of Acts 17, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But it was far from plain sailing. So a number of the Jews got jealous at the attention that they were getting as they preached, as they shared the gospel. And they racked up a crowd of people, a mob of people, and actually they forced Paul and Silas out of the city, forced them to leave the city. And so they are writing this letter in response to Timothy now coming back to them with a report of how it's going for those Thessalonians and the young church that they were a part of. How is it? How they're doing? All right? Ready to dive in? Give me a let's go. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2. I'm going to start at. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a community that is demonstrating a life lived with faith, hope, and love. In verse 4, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know, it sounds like God did some pretty cool things when Paul and Silas went and shared the message amongst those in Thessalonica. It sounds like they were doing the stuff, as we'd say within the vineyard. As Christians, people of faith, followers of Jesus, called to do the stuff. Not just with words, but with power and conviction from the Holy Spirit. He carries on. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. It wasn't all plain sailing for them. There's persecution. They suffered severely as they stepped into this new way of life. It wasn't without consequences. But then, and here's where I really want to just sort of land a bit for us this morning. That's what I really want us to hone in on, is this cool picture that Paul gives in verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Isn't that a cool picture? Just their faith was ringing out. It rang out into the community around them. And the New Living Translation of the Bible, that same verse, it says, and now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. Apparently the Greek word in there, I'll butcher the pronunciation of it, so any Greek scholars in the room, just bear with me, please. Ezekiel, something like that, Ezekiel. Say it with some Italian flamboyancy and you'll get away with it, eh? Greek flamboyancy, sorry. But apparently it's the only place in Scripture where this word is used. And it means, they translate it, ringing out, obviously, but it's a bit broader than that. You know, it can relate to the sound of a resounding gong. It could be a sound, a ring, a peal, a boom. Some say that Paul was trying to say that their preaching was like a loud trumpet, a great thunderclap, or the sound of the ocean's waves. You know, whatever the picture that Paul is trying to give to the people who are receiving this letter, he's saying, you know, this is going far and wide. This is ringing out everywhere. These are people who are gossiping the gospel. They're telling everyone about it. The Lord's message rang out. And then the last couple of verses that we'll just read here, then he continues, "Therefore we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." These Thessalonians, as they gossiped the gospel, as they spread the good news of who Jesus was, they just couldn't stop talking about him. And so as I've been, you know, just reflecting on these verses, I think it raises some important questions, doesn't it? Is that what my life looks like, sounds like for you? As people hear about Coast Vineyard, is there a gospel that's been gossiped around the place? And that's what people hear about us, about this news of Jesus. That wherever we're talked about, that our faith in God, as Paul puts it, is becoming known everywhere. Does that sound like a good thing to be known for? Are we on board with wanting to have that talked about us in those ways? It's not a rhetorical question. Because if it's not, it's fine, I'll just sit down. But I think that's our desire, right? That in some way, shape, or form, as people encounter us, we want those of us who are Christians, now please, I know that there are people in the room and you have not made that decision to surrender your life to God. You have not stepped into a life of being a Christian, of being a follower of Jesus. And it's awesome that you're here, honestly. Or maybe you're with us online. But most of us in the room have made that decision, right? And so we want something of the gospel to rub off into the people around us, don't we? So I think that there's some great stuff that we can learn from this crowd in Thessalonica. You know, that we can look at their lives and we can kind of dig from these verses. What was it about them that helped the Lord's message to ring out into the community, into the people around them? Sound like a worthy exploration? First thing that I think that we see both in the example of the Thessalonians, but also in the way that Paul gives his example, is that it's a way of life. It's a way of life. You know, it's who they are. Even as he's introducing the letter in verse 3, Paul talks about their lives of faith, hope, and love. Their work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by their hope in our Lord Jesus. And then as Paul is reflecting on his time with them, he says in verse 5, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." It's life. It's the way of life. In order for the message of the gospel to ring out from our lives, the way that we live is important. It's basics, you know? Like, I know it's basics, but it's so important, isn't it? That our lives actually reflect the Jesus that we follow. And I know that it's easy to say that, but if we stop and think about it, that's actually a really challenging call. and you are surrounded by and you're listening to someone who is far from perfect and far from, you know, just getting this all right all the time. But I think that the invitation for us is to be growing in the likeness of Jesus, right? And if we kind of don't have a good sort of reference point of being able to sort of assess that within our lives or have some reflection, then the fruits of the Spirit are a great place to start, just as an example, you know. So this is our encouragement of the character qualities that we are not to have squared away and, yep, I can do all of those, but more in the journey towards and the growing in. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As people talk about us, are those some of the words that come to mind? Is our life, is it a way of life for us? Challenging, eh? Even in the Message paraphrase of the Bible, that verse 8 is put like this: we don't even have to say anything anymore. You're the message. You're the message. As some have said in the past, for some people in your life, you are the only Bible that they will read. I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I try to live intentionally, especially with those of my friends that are, you know, outside of church life. But, you know, sometimes you just wonder. You wonder if you're really making a difference, don't you? I do. I wonder if, is the way that I'm living, is it really helping to expose others to the gospel? Is it helping others to, you know, come towards Christ, come towards God? And every now and again, you have these sort of conversations that go a little bit deeper or whatever. And my main sort of point of reference to people outside of church life, you know, what I do is involves a lot of church people, and that's good, is through my cycling. I know, two references to cycling in one message, just yeah, bear with me. Just getting my yearly quota in. No. But as I reflect on the conversations which I've had with those friends, you know, there are a number of, every now and again, deeper conversations, just conversations of substance. Actually, I had quite a fun reminder. Just near the beginning of last year, I was doing a stage race. So over multiple days, 4 days, it's not something I get to do very often. It was heaps of fun. But on the fourth stage, in the last day, we were cycling along, you know, in this event, and it was a pretty casual moment in the race itself. And so we were chatting, you know, we were talking to each other and so forth. And there's a bit of noise as you go along, and I didn't realise, but my phone, which was in my back pocket, was going off. And so I heard this, voice from just behind me, saying, "Hey, Stanley, I think someone from the church is calling." I was like, "What? What do you mean?" And then I sort of realized, I got my phone out. It was actually a reminder. So on a Sunday morning, I have a reminder that goes off for a meeting that happens every Sunday. And so it was reminding me of that, but of course I was away. And so we had this banter. I welcomed them all to the meeting. I thanked them for being there, and then I welcomed them to church. And we just had this fun sort of, you know, banter amongst this small group of people that I was with at the time. And what stood out to me about it was, number one, I didn't really know the guy that called out to me, "Hey, Stanley, someone from the church is calling." I didn't really know. I mean, I kind of knew his name. That was about it. I had no idea that he knew what I did, that he knew what was important to me, knew what I was engaged with, knew what I was. And it was just a great little encouraging reminder. Hey, you know what? It actually really matters. The way that I live, it really matters. People are watching. People take notice. So how's that going for you? It's a way of life. An important reminder to let the Lord's message ring out. Let's make it a way of life. Next one? Ready for the next one? It's like, yeah, don't challenge me that much. Yeah, come on. Very much tying into this. As I noticed that the community had a point of difference. As the Thessalonians are being talked about, they clearly had a point of difference. One of the key things that made those who had become Christians in this area and the surrounding area stand out was that they had stopped chasing after the same gods that the rest of society were trying to appease. In verse 9, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You know, that sort of language is often used in Scripture to describe salvation. You know, as we are tracking one direction, we turn away from that and back towards God. So it's that language of connecting with God. But in a very practical sense, for the Thessalonians, they are living in a community that is surrounded and people are constantly trying to appease a deity of some description. There's temples all over the place. There's lots of different gods. And so they are living under the weight of trying to appease these idols, these gods. Now, the gods of our culture might not be used in such spiritual terms, right? But they're very much there. John Piper, well-respected American pastor, theologian, defines an idol as anything that we come to rely on for some blessing or help or guidance in the place of a wholehearted reliance on the true and living God. And it can take the form of all sorts of different things within our lives, can't it? You know, work, hobbies, money, social media, intellect, pride, status, politics. You know, the list goes on and on of the things that we can look to in replace of God. Instead of having our full reliance on God. But as Christians, again, if we're Christians here, this ever-present Holy Spirit that walks with us to walk beside us in every season to help us in those moments. We were just chatting before the service and I was thinking about how amongst us in the current sort of as a bit of a reflection of the economic times that we're in at the moment, we've had a number of people who have been made redundant. And it's a big deal, eh? You know, like it's a big deal. And so as a point of difference, how we walk through a season like that can stand out like a sore thumb to the people around us. And honestly, I've been so impressed with those amongst us who have walked through that season or are walking through that season. Yes, doing everything practically possible to work out what that next chapter looks like, but at the end of the day, putting that reliance on God, the one who provides, the one in every season who is there and walks with us. There's lots of other ways where we can just choose to have a point of difference, to turn towards God. What are some of the points of difference that you see in your own life when you compare yourself to those around you or our society as a whole? I think that would be a great group question this week or over the next couple of weeks. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, join a group. It's going to be good. But it's true. All right, finally, ready for the last one? They must have been intentional inviters. Surely. The fact that the message they were carrying spread far and wide tells us that they must have been very intentionally inviting people towards God in some way, and then in turn encouraging others to do the same, looking for those opportunities to be able to initiate meaningful conversation. You know, part of our up and go focus for this year, up, prayer, go, invite, gather, you know, is that we would be people who are intentionally looking for those that we can invite to church, to church activity, things that we're involved with, but towards God in some way, in general terms, you know? That we can invite others in because we care, because we want them to discover the love of God, because we know that our society is actually desperately in need of an encounter with God. We want to invite them in. Matt mentioned last week these sort of six helpful sort of categories or kind of people to be sort of on the lookout for when it comes to those invitations. I just think they're really helpful for sort of stirring our thoughts. So he talked about the uncommitted, you know, those who may have a faith but are not committed to a church in the current season. The unconvinced, God's clearly doing something in their lives but they're not quite over the line yet, not quite convinced. We can invite them along on that journey. Birds of a feather, you know, like with my cycling buddies or the things that you're into, people who have a shared passion. And so just out of natural relationship, there is an invitation opportunity. There's the spiritually parched, someone who's just hungry for there to be more to life. They might have been through a real roller coaster or life's thrown them some curveballs. They're spiritually parched. Those new to the area, just on a very practical sense, no, moving into a new place is full on, eh? And so looking for those who are new to a community on the coast, that is a massive ministry opportunity for us. People are moving into this area all the time. So in the establishment of new community, look for the opportunity to invite. And then just finally, a divine connection. You know, someone that God just, so there's a bit of a setup. There, it's just looks like God has orchestrated things for there to be an encounter and to invite in some way. Just helpful reminders, right? And you know, not everyone's going to respond on the first invitation that they have. In all likelihood, it may take multiple invitations. But at some point, there will be one invitation away. And so we want to be those people who would give opportunity to offer that invitation. One invitation away. Josh and Shana, why don't you guys come and join me? I had one of these encounters just a couple of days ago. So I was at a wedding, actually on Anzac Day, and I was enjoying just catching up with some old friends and so forth. And I noticed a guy that I sort of knew from probably about sort of 10 years ago, didn't know him very well, but I noticed just at that particular moment he was sitting by himself, and I just sort of felt that nudge, you know, to go and have a conversation. So I went over, introduced myself, and he reminded me his name, and we got chatting. And just one thing led to the other, and just in a very short space of time, he let me know that he hadn't been in church for about 5 years, after his wife had passed away. His wife passed away about 5 years ago and hadn't sort of had the gumption to go back into a church after that. It's a massive journey. But he was really open to going to a church that was new, a new environment. And so, of course, it just invited him along. So, you know, you're totally welcome here at Coast Vineyard. Just being mindful for those opportunities, looking for those opportunities, those moments. So to let the Lord's message ring out like it did with the Thessalonians, we can make it a way of life, we can be comfortable with having a point of difference, and we can be intentional inviters. And obviously, if each and every one of us sort of step into that as a community, as a church, that ringing out is just amplified, isn't it? May Paul's description of the Thessalonians also be ours. May our lives and our church ring out with the Lord's message. Thank you. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me if you're able? I know that for some, you know, this is, you know, it's like a yes and amen. Yeah, of course, I'm in. But for others of us, that's a challenging thing to step into. You don't have to do it like the person next to you. You just do it as you. You and God. As I was just thinking about today and just creating some space here for us to pray and to pray for some people, I actually thought about this and the words hostile environment came into my mind. That when you think about doing this in your world, you're like, yeah, but man, I'm in a hostile environment. Either in your workplace, something with your family, you know, just however that kind of pans out for you. And so I'd really love to pray for you. We would really love to pray for you. If you're like, yes, I'd love to step into that, but man, it's hard work. You don't have to do it on your own. In a moment, I'm just going to invite you forward. We'd love to pray for you for a moment. Also, the team who were praying before the service this morning, they had that sense that for some, very specifically, for some people in the room with us right now, there was a sense of an invitation to something of God and God's encouragement to step in. Like, it was very specific. You knew a God opportunity that was there for you, but you were sort of plucking up the courage or just wanting to step in. And God was saying, today's the day, step in, step in, step in. And so if that rings true for you, we'd love to pray for you as well. And just finally, before I invite some people forward, I just had on my heart the miraculous. You've come here today needing God to do something miraculous. It might be something that you have prayed for years. Or maybe something is new. You need God to come and do his thing, the thing that only he can do. You need the miraculous power of God to come. And I'm not proclaiming to you that as we pray, that will definitely happen. However, we serve a God that can, and we would love to pray into it. I don't want you just to stay in your own bubble with that without us having the opportunity to pray on your behalf for that miraculous thing. All right? So I'd love to just invite you out of your seats. If there's anything of what I've just shared there that would just be really good to be able to pray into, that would be awesome just for you to come if you can. And we've got some people who would love to pray for you, and that would be good. The rest of us are going to pray for a moment just as people come forward. So why don't you get in a space to pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to go on this journey with you, Lord, to be people who would ring out with your message. And Lord, as we pray specifically into some things this morning, we ask for your miraculous power. We ask as a community of believers that we gather, yes, with each other, but with you. So come, Holy Spirit, come and have your way.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau, or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz, and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day and be blessed.